This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
So there's a Medrash Pliya. Medrash Pliya is a sefer that basically accumulated all of the Medrashim that on its face do not have any logical, rational meaning. Normally you learn a Medrash, and it has some, we don't understand the depth of Medrashim, but at least at face value, you can somewhat take something from it. There's a takeaway. Then there's some Medrashim that seem like so cryptic and so riddle-like that it just begs for somebody to come and explain it. And there are many, many Sfarim that explain all these Medrash Pliyas. We have one actually down in the base Medrash, a whole two-volume set called Medrash Pliya, and it has multiple explanations on it. So in Medrash Pliya, in the 31st Medrash Pliya, Lamed Aleph, it's going on a pasuk in Shir Hashirim, Zayin Yodalad. And the pasuk says, Hadudaim nasnu reach, ve'al psacheinu kol megadim. What does that mean? The pasuk says that the dudaim is a type of a flower, jasmine maybe, nasnu reach, it gave forth its odor, its aroma, and on our doorposts, al psacheinu, by our doors, our kol megadim are all types of sweet goodies. That pasuk in itself needs a lot of explanation, but just to complicate it a little bit more, the Medrash Pliya says as follows: Hadudaim nasnu reach. When the pasuk says in Shir Hashirim that those fragrant jasmines gave off their odor, gave off their aroma, zeru uvein. It's a reference to Reuven. Reuven had the dudam. He was the one that gave the dudam to Rachel, and as a result of those dudam, she had Yisachar, and she was able to spend the night. Leah was able to spend the night with Yaakov, even though it was Rachel's night to spend with Yaakov, and as a result, she had Yisachar and Zevulun. And it was because of those dudam that Reuven gave that two Shvatim of Klal Yisrael were born. So anyway, we refer to the dudam. Reuven is referred to as the dudam. Hadudam nos nereach zeh Reuven, shehitzel es Yosef min habar. He saved Yosef from the pit. Last week's parsha, all the brothers wanted to kill Yosef, and Reuven said, no, let's not kill him, let's throw him into a pit. And Reuven's plan was that he would come back later and get him. As it turned out, he wasn't really the hero. Yehuda was the one that fished him out when he saw those merchants passing by. But Reuven still is considered to be the one that saved Yosef, because in theory, he did. He was the one that devised his plan to throw him into the pit. Otherwise, he would have been dead already, and he was planning on coming back. Okay, so Reuven is referred to as the Dudaim. Nasnu Reach, he gave forth a beautiful aroma because he saved Yosef. Val Psacheinu Kol Megadim, and on our doorposts, by our doors, are all sweet stuff. Zen Ner Chanukah. That's a reference by the doorpost. The mitzvah, we light it indoors nowadays, but really the mitzvah, and in Eretz Yisrael, that's what they do. Even in Lander, we do it by the dorms. A lot of boys buy these fish tanks and they light it by the near the doorpost. The mezuzah is on one side, and the Chanukah licht is on the other side. And so, al psacheinu kol megadim, by our doorposts are all sweet stuff. That's Ner Chanukah. So now we have to figure out what in the world does Reuven's saving of Yosef have to do with the fact that by the doorposts there are Neiris Chanukah. So what I was thinking to say is as follows. You know, we celebrate Chanukah, but very few people know what precipitated all of these events of Chanukah. Did they just happen because, you know, the Yevanim just happened to be very strong and they conquered Eretz Yisrael and they came into the Beis HaMikdash? Or did something happen that we did to bring that? Generally, things don't happen in a vacuum. Mipnei chataino, because we sin, that's when things happen that are not so good. So what did we do wrong to deserve that the Yevanim should come in and try to acculturate us and try to change everything that's going on? So the Bach in Shulchan Aruch on the Halachas of Hanukkah gives us an explanation. He says something, I don't know where he gets it from, but the Bach had a Kabbalah, had a Messiah, that the reason why this whole episode of Hanukkah happened was because Shehisrashlu Ba'avayda. Klal Yisrael got very lazy when it came to doing the Avodah. They weren't doing mitzvahs with the right brand. They didn't have all of the enthusiasm. And eventually, even the, I think they stopped bringing a carbon tamid, if that's possible. And they just basically, we were not really doing what we were supposed to be doing. And so as a result of the fact that we were very shvach in our mitzvahs, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends the Yevanim in to remind us that we're really supposed to be better. And so there's no bigger wake-up call to the fact that you're not doing your Avodah right, you're not doing the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash right, than having the Yevanim come into the Beis HaMikdash, Rachman Islan, and wreak havoc there. Bo, Pritzim Echilu, the Pritzim, the terrible people came in and were Mechalal, they desecrated all that was holy, and they contaminated all of the oils save one jug. That all was a wake-up call. That was an einish as a result of the fact that we were not doing what we were supposed to be doing, plain and simple. And so we took up arms, just a few, a band of rabbis took up arms against the mighty Syrian Greek army. It was like the Navy SEALs of the time with all the weaponry of the time and far outnumbered Rabbi Biad Ma'atim. And it was a kamikaze mission that these few Jewish men undertook. It wasn't Shayach to have Matisyahu Bonav. You know, he wasn't the Rambo that he was depicted as in all the coloring books. He was Talmud Chacham Uvuk. These were Kayhanim Gedalim, and probably looked a lot more like Rebbe Yashiv or Steinemann than anyone else, La'avdil. And we won. Against all odds, it was a crazy thing. It was a miracle, and we won. But even having won the war, the simcha must not have been so great. You know why? Because they knew that they had brought this upon themselves. They weren't out of it. They understood that when they saw all that was unfolding before their eyes and the contamination of the Mikdash, they knew that they themselves were the ones that really contaminated the Mikdash far before and more intensely than the Yevanim did. They were the ones that did it. And so, yes, we won the war, but there was still a taint on the whole episode of guilt. We did it. Lamaisa, we did. Okay, Sheikh, a nace happened, but we were matriach the Rabbeinu Shem to cause a nace that maybe was unnecessary. Like, if we would have been good, if we had done the right thing, then this whole nace would not have been necessary. So what happened was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us another nace of Hanukkah. The Melchama was the major nace, but then there was another seemingly unnecessary nace. The first nace was absolutely necessary. We wouldn't be here today if not for that. We would all be speaking Greek and we'd probably look a lot better, not like the donuts, but we'd probably look a lot more like Rambo Taka. But now that, Baruch Hashem, we won, and that's why we celebrate eating a lot of oil to show what a Yid really should look like. But things would have looked a lot different. So we probably thought, okay, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved us, but he's probably still braggish with us. He's probably upset with us. That, it's not like a big, you don't deserve a ticker tape raid when you destroy everything and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to bring up on him a nace to save us. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought another miracle, which is really not really necessary even. Why is it not necessary? Of course it's necessary. You have to light menorah every day in the Beis HaMikdash. It's a din to light menorah. So the Pnei Yeshua famously says that there are gemaras that say that Toma is Hotra B'Tzibor. Tumas Sotrabazir, meaning if, yeah, the Beis Hamikdash was defiled, but guess what? If it happened in a public area, then you're allowed to, then Tumas Sotra. Obviously, it's better not to, but there's a special dispensation, Bitzibor, that Tumas Sotra, you would have been allowed L'chatchila to light these Neris Chanukah, and nobody would have said boo. All the Kanam would be fine with it. It's La'alacha, it's a big OU on lighting in such a circumstance. But yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu went and performed this miracle for us, that what should have taken, what should have only remained lit for one night, remained lit for 8 full nights. And the way Reb Chaim Shmulevitz puts that nekuda in his sefer is that this was a neshika of the Rabbeinu Shalom. This was a kiss that the Rabbeinu Shalom gives to Klal Yisrael. As if to say, yes, you messed up. Yes, you made me perform a big miracle, but yes, I love you still. You shouldn't think that I'm bragus with you. I'm not mad at you. I have no tainus. It's over. We're friends. We're still in love. And I'm giving you this miracle because it's a kiss. And never forget it. Just parenthetically, I think that's why the Rambam writes that he uses a very unusual lashon. Normally the Rambam doesn't wax poetic in the middle of halachas. But he says that by Hilchas Chanukah, by the Menorah, he says that the mitzvah of Adlokas Ner Chanukah is mitzvah chaviva hi ad ma'ayd. It's a beloved mitzvah. It's exceptionally beloved, this mitzvah. Why is this mitzvah more beloved than any other mitzvah in the Torah? Not clear. The Nisei Kelim deal with it. They say because you see in the Gemara in Shabbos that haragel b'ner having lebanim tamid chachamim. It's a big school to have children. Or Tamid Chacham, if you light Neris Chanukah, so maybe that's why it's beloved. But I think according to this var of Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, it's very pashut why it's beloved, because it's the chavivas is the whole mitzvah came about to show chavivas. HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu cared enough about us and wanted to make sure that we know that he still loves us. That he made this additional unnecessary mitzvah, unnecessary nes, to convey the chavivas that he has towards us. So the Menorah really became emblematic of the chavivas that exists between us and the Rabbeinu Shalom, because otherwise there would be no purpose of it.
Interesting that the Rav started with the pasuk from where?
Shir Hashem. Excellent.
Well said. It reminds me also that just a similar kind of idea, famous going on Anani HaKavod by Sukkot, right? So he says, you know, when it should be Pesach, is what, right? So it was the return of the Anani HaKavod that symbolized after the Mishkan, that, you know, Chedaygel, you know.
Right, very good. And I think that this is really what's going on with our Chanukah today. Because, you know, we know that there is an order for all the Yom Tovim of the year. The calendar is nothing is random. So like you were saying before, you have, you know, Rosh Hashanah, then Yom Kippur, Yom Kippur. Obviously, Rosh Hashanah leads into Yom Kippur, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, and Ani HaKavod, and Tshuva Meira versus Tshuva Me'ava. And then we go down the calendar. What's the next stop on the train? We're at it, right? Chanukah. By Chanukah, It's a funny time on the calendar, because it's a time that we really have like a gut check of how we're doing on all of those Kabbalahs of the last Yom Tov, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. So we were such good boys then. Rosh Hashanah, we made Kabbalahs, and Yom Kippur, we fasted, and we sang, and we clapped Al Chet, and 10 Viduyim one after another. And we were going to be so perfect. And then Sukkot was Simcha, and beautiful. And now we're like in the thick of winter. Like a few months away. Now we have we can give ourselves a fair evaluation about how we're holding. And it doesn't always look so good. Oftentimes people tend to fall and to fail, and that's human, and it's normal. But the Yontif of Chanukah comes about at this time of year, and we light the menorah because we need that kiss from the Rabbeinu Shalom. We need to be reminded that, yes, it's dark, and yes, it's gloomy, and yes, we're not faring as well as possibly we thought we would at this point of the calendar, but yet the Yontif of Chanukah comes at a perfect time to remind us that the same love and affection that we had towards the Rabbeinu Shalom, that the Rabbeinu Shalom had towards us, that Ani L'daydi V'daydi Li relationship exists even today. And just like by Yom Mahim, they had this feeling of guilt, but yet the Menorah validated their understanding that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us and always will. Chanukah is situated right now in our calendar, Bazman Hazeh, to remind ourselves that yes, we might not be doing so well. We might have a lot of chataim that we've racked up since Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur Sukkos, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu still loves us. That Chavivus is still very much here with us, and that's what the menorah symbolizes. It's a mitzvah which is Chaviva Ad Ma'id. The Chavivus of Chanukah is supposed to, as we light the menorah, it's supposed to be that same feeling that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving us a kiss, saying, I'm with you, Imanoichi Betzara, no matter what happens, I'm still with you.
You could say the same thing about Purim too. They were forgetting the Torah, and then there was a miracle.
Yeah. Chanukah and Purim are very, very closely related. So, as Chanukah enters, we make the brach of Shechiyanu v'kiyimanu v'gyanu l'zman hazeh. It's a time that we thank God that we've arrived at, and even though everything seems bleak and it's dark and it's cold and it's and we don't feel like as clean as we should be at this point, but we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu still loves us and He allowed us to come to this Yontif of Chanukah, and with the Hadlakas Neiris, we get that same neshika, the same kiss that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us in the times of the Chashmonaim. It's interesting, you know, the shir that we say every day on Chanukah is Mizmar Shir Chanukah Sabayis LaDavid. And we say there are Mimcha Hashem Kidi Lisani, V'lay Simachtai V'ayli HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have, we will exalt in you because you have lifted us up. Dilisani is like a dili, like a pitcher, like a pail that's lifted up from the well. You've raised us. You have not allowed our enemies to rejoice over us. Now, what was this talking about? Why is this the Shir Shalyam of Chanukah, and what and at what period of history is this addressing? This whole parak of Til and parak Lamed. So Rashi and the Radak say that this whole capital of Tehillim was a reference to David HaMelech's chet. David HaMelech, we know, had a very difficult to understand episode with Uriah Chiti and with Bathsheba. And what happened was that it was a very hard parsha to understand. It was a very hard parsha to understand, and and all of the enemies of David HaMelech, all of his, all of the people that were out to get him, felt that he was a sinner, and that he was not worthy of being the Melech and being and certainly not building the Beis HaMikdash. In fact, he didn't build the Beis HaMikdash, but Shlomo HaMelech did. He built the Beis HaMikdash, and when Shlomo HaMelech, of all people, who was the son of David HaMelech, built the Beis HaMikdash, that was one way that the enemies of David HaMelech, all the naysayers that said David HaMelech was a chayte and he's not worthy of anything, they all of a sudden started becoming very quiet because they saw that Shlomo HaMelech did successfully build the Beis HaMikdash, and they saw that as some, you know, as almost a vindication of David HaMelech and how he did tshuva and how everything that he did was justified in the end.
Wasn't Shlomo also the son of Bathsheba? Was she the mother?
Yes, exactly. Very good. But there's another Gemara in Ma'id Katan on Daf Tesem and Aleph that gives another reason. All this is alluded to in the Mefarshim and the Kapitel Tilim, that when David HaMelech, when Shlomo HaMelech was inaugurating the Beis HaMikdash, so they were bringing the Aron in. It was a very big elaborate, you know, suda that they made, and everybody was there. All of Klal Yisrael came to see this great Chanukas Habayis. That's Mizmashir Chanukas Habayis. This was the song that was sung. So what happened? As soon as they tried to bring the Aron in, the Sha'arim were Davku Zebazeh, the gates of the Heichal, they shut, they sealed, and they were not able to break through the door. So the whole, this sort of put a damper on the whole ceremony because, you know, when you don't, does anyone have the key? Does anyone know how to go open this thing? No. You know, sometimes you're like in a shul and they can't get the Sifrei Torah out of the Aron, nobody has the key. It's something like that, but a million times worse. And so they didn't know what to do. And the Gemara says that Shlaima HaMelech said 24 renanis, 24 songs, v'lainanen, he wasn't answered. Pasach va'amar, he opened his mouth and he said, Su'u sharm rasheichem, let the doorways, let the gateways open their heads. V'lainanen, he still wasn't answered. And then he said another pasuk, Hashem elekim, al tashay pnei mishichecha, zachra lechaste David, remember the chesed of David? Miyad nana, and all of a sudden the door is opened. The Oz, the Gemara says, Nebchu pnei sayne David kishule kadera. All of those naysayers, all of those doubters, all of the haters of David, their faces became like blackened, like the bottom of a pot. That's how embarrassed they became. V'yedu hakel shemachal HaKadosh Baruch Hu alayhi salva. And everybody knew that HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgave David HaMelech for that sin. So that was the whole capital. You didn't allow the people that hated me, my enemies, to rejoice. And that's the whole capital, how HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you were so good to me at Mizmar Shir Chanukas Habayis LaDavid. Meaning, this is all written by David HaMelech Baruch HaKadosh. David HaMelech wasn't alive when this happened. It was all Baruch HaKadosh Namar. David HaMelech foresaw that he would be justified, that he would be vindicated. He would be absolved of all of the chet through the Binyan Beis HaMikdash. And I think that that's the parallel of Hanukkah. Because Hanukkah is also, it's a time that Klal Yisrael felt chet, and then comes Hanukkah, it's a vindication of the chet. The kiss that we got from the Nes of the Bach Hashem and showed that we were absolved. HaKadosh Baruch was meichel us entirely. And even Bizmanenu, we have Chatam, we're in the middle of winter, it's a far, you know, a far journey already from the exalted days of Elul and Tishrei. We had already Cheshvan and now most of Kislev. And we're not doing that well as we could be. We're already starting to slip. Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us another reminder that you're good. I love you. Everything is good. That you have a Chanukah. I gave you Chanukah Dafka now. It was on purpose that I gave it to you now, to uplift your spirits and to make your eyes illuminated with the reality that HaKadosh Baruch Hu still loves us very deeply. And David HaMelech writes in that capital, Hashem helisa misha'ol nafshi, you raised me up from the grave of my soul, meaning you were mechayim me, you uplifted me from the soul that I was going to be going down to Gehenna. Chisani, and you gave me life, miyardi bar. From going into a pit, when I feel like I'm in a pit, you lifted me out of the pit. That's what Chanukah is all about. Chanukah is, I feel sometimes I'm in a pit, and Chanukah comes and raises me out. It gives me the light of Chanukah, gives us the ability to see further, to be inspired, and to go further into the year feeling that we're okay, that we're still good. Who is the first person to be thrown into a pit? Last week's parasha, Yosef HaTzadik. And he had everything going for him, Yosef. He was Yifei Tarif Yifei Mara, he was very handsome. He was beloved to his father, he learned all the Torah from him. And then everything went black. He was thrown into a pit with snakes and scorpions. It doesn't get much worse than that. Chisani Miardi Barutz. And Yosef knew that his brothers were the ones that plotted to really kill him. But that Reuven was the one who said, I'm going to save him. And he went and threw Yosef into a pit. Now, Yosef was down on the bottom of the pit. What do you think that he was thinking? Besides that, you know, this is really not a good matzav. This is not, you know, this is like the worst thing that could have ever happened to me. My own brothers hated me so much that they wanted to kill me. But yet, at the same time, there was a silver lining in that Reuven, one of his brothers, stepped up to the plate and saved him. And by throwing him into the pit, it's bad. But the smell of the dudaim that was on Yosef by Reuven putting him down into the pit, that dudaim, I don't know if it was a physical smell or it was a spiritual smell, but the smell of the dudaim, this beautiful aroma that emanated from Reuven's action, that was accompanying Yosef down in the bar. That gave him hope. Somebody in the world cared enough about me to try to save my life. And he'll probably try to come back and rescue me. That was his plan. Maybe as he was putting him in the bar, he whispered to him, don't worry, I'm going to come back later. I'm going to rescue you. So even when Yosef was in the pit, the dudam were nasnu reach. There was a smell of reach that was emanating from the dudam. And that's what the Medrash means, Hadudam Nasnu Reach, that was Reuven. Hadudam Nasnu Reach, the Pasuk says. The aroma of the Dudam gave off an odor. That was Reuven who saved Yosef from the pit. You know why? He didn't actually save it. He threw him into a pit of snakes. But what gave Yosef the hope that kept him alive down there was the fact that he had the Dudam with him. He had that smell, that beautiful aroma. And that was the kiss that he had down there. Even in the darkness of the bar, he had the smell that was permeating in the bar that kept him alive, that reminded him, Shechiyanu v'kiyimanu v'giyanu lazman hazeh, it's going to have a happy ending. Things will get better.
I just saw recently, heard recently the same idea, and they didn't, you know, touch on this, which is, you know, even...
I'm getting to that. Because this is the next step is what Reb Chaim Shmulevitz does say. This is, I'm coming in and out of Reb Chaim, whenever I'm saying what he says, I'm quoting him. But excellent. He says that as Yosef was being, he was taken from the bar, Yehuda pulled him up, they sold him to the Ishmaelim, and on that caravan, the pasuk goes and says that there were spices. Nechais for light, right? What's Lashon? Nechais for tzri v'light. Beautiful spices. So Rashi says, you know, this is a very unusual experience because Arabs are not known for smelling really good. If you ever, whatever, without getting into interracial stuff, but Arabs are not, and Arabs deal, generally speaking, what the normal cargo of an Arab would be naft and different types of oils and tars and like really foul smelling stuff. So punked of all of the Arabs that he could have hitched a ride with or been taken down to Mitzrayim, he happened to have the good fortune of having that, the smell of beautiful spices accompanying him. That's what Rashi says. Because he was a tzaddik, he deserved that spice smell. Zakhtar Chaim Shmulevitz, and he's saying it like comparing it to Hanukkah, but he doesn't say the whole Medrash Pli and everything, but he does take it, I mean, I'm saying how Dudam Nasmeh is a smell on the bar. He's saying, and when he came out of the bar, he had that smell, and that smell was what? What Reb Chaim says, it can't get much worse. I mean, the guy is mamish being sold down to the Nile, literally, you know, in Egypt, going to Egypt, being a slave, going to Paitifar. You know, he was mamish me'igur ram labira mikti. He was on the top of the world. Now he's crashing down very, very rapidly. Does it really matter that there is some nice smelling spices? Who cares? Is that really so important in the narrative over here? He's suffering. You think of people, you know, without getting, you know, in a cattle car, you know, chas v'shalom, it doesn't matter what it smelled like. A little better, a little. Why is the pasuk being madgish that there were these smells? So Reb Chaim says that this was a kiss from the Rebbe Nishlam. And when he smelled these spices, when he smelled these beautiful aroma, Yosef, being the tzaddik on the high level that he was, understood that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was sending a message that Imanech Mitzara, I'm here with you. I love you. I care about you. Don't think that I'm mad at you and that I'm abandoning you. As bleak and dark and awful as things seem, I'm here with you, and here's your kiss. So there was Dudaim that he smelled in the bar. When he came out of the bar, the smell continued in the caravan with the Arab spices. All of these are kisses that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him. And I think that's the pshat in the Medrash Pliya. That Hadudam Nasnu Reach Zeru Uvein Shitzel Seisim in Abar. The Dudam gave off a flavor, a smell. When Yosef was on the bottom of the pit and he smelled that smell, he was reminded HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves him. V'alpsacheinu kol megadim, and on our doorposts are all the sweet smells, all the geshmaka things. Zeh Ner Chanukah. Ner Chanukah is the same exact, it's the same parallel. It's mamish parallel cases. They're both kisses from the Rabbeinu Shalom. The Dudam was a kiss to Yosef in the bar, and we were in a bar during the time of Chanukah, where deep despair, terrible circumstances, acculturation, and a threat to our very Yiddishkeit, to everything that we stand for, everything that we wanted to do was being undermined because of our averus. Chiyisani miyardi bar. You were mechayim me in the bar. You gave me the Ner Chanukah. The Ner Chanukah was the kiss that kept me illuminated so brightly when everything seemed so dark. You know, it's interesting, there is another version of this Medrash Pliya that says at the end, Chadashim Gam Yishanim, old things and new things. That's the end of the pasuk. Chadashim Gam Yishanim. Or Yishanim Gam Chadashim, something, I don't know, anyone ever learned Shishim? Okay. Some, I'm not sure. It's either Chadashim Gam Yishanim or Yishanim Gam Chadashim. You look it up.
Chadashim V'Gam
Yishanim. Is there an end to that part? A few more words? Doidi. Savantalach, right. So what does that mean? So the Medrash says like this. The Medrash Pliya continues and says, you know what Chadashim Gam Yishanim means? Chadashim Zener Chanukah. The Gam Yishanim Mezuzah. Mezuzah is an old mitzvah. You found that, Kirsten, in the Medrash?
Yeah, no, it's just true. Remembering the
Zohar
that says a similar thing.
Okay, so Chadashim is Ner Chanukah. It's a mitzvah d'Rabban. It's a new mitzvah. V'gam Yishanim, the old mitzvah mezuzah. Al psalcheinu kol megadim. There are all types of geshmaka things by my door. I have a Ner Chanukah, that's the new stuff. Then I have an old stuff mezuzah. Now, what's the connection between a Ner Chanukah and a mezuzah? I always bother me. There has to be some connection between them. But you know what I think the connection is? What do we do with the mezuzah every time we pass it?
Kiss it.
Give it a kiss. And what is Ner Chanukah? Ner Chanukah is HaKadosh Baruch Hu giving us a kiss. It's Ani L'daydi V'daydi Li. We kiss the Rabbeinu Shalom, the Rabbeinu Shalom kisses us back. It's a relationship of pure Ava, Chanukah. And that's, I think, Pasha Pshat in that Medrash Pliya. Hadudam Nasna Reach, Yosef was in the darkest dungeon, but he always smelled the Rabbeinu Shalom. He always felt the Rabbeinu Shalom's kiss. And he loved the Rabbeinu Shalom. Yosef had tzaddik. He proved himself time and time again. He had the neshika back and forth between him and the Rabbeinu Shalom. V'al psacheinu kol megadim, carrying forth the legacy of Yosef, we have by our doorpost, Ad Hayayim, we have a Ner Chanukah on one side, we have a mezuzah on the other side. The Ner Chanukah reminds us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is kissing us, even in the darkness of Galus, even in the worst times. We remember that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us these neshikas. And likewise, we give HaKadosh Baruch Hu neshika as well. Whenever we go into a house or come out of a house, we kiss the mezuzah. It's a minig, very old minig. It's not stam, it's a very, very ancient minig to kiss the mezuzah, because what you're basically saying is that I love you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, it's interesting that I find it all the time. Unfortunately, I was trying to think of good examples but you find it all the time. I have many things I just can't remember. And the Sutton doesn't let me. From now on, I have to write down whenever I have a good example of things. But like, you know, sometimes you get Hashgacha Pratis, and then if you don't write it down, you forget it. But you, sometimes you're like, wow, that's like an amazing Hashgacha Pratit. But then, like, if you don't write it down, you don't repeat it or something, then you just got, because the Yetzirah doesn't want you to remember, because that's like, that's too powerful. But a lot of times, I know personally, like, you know, things are really bleak in my life, you know, sometimes. You know, sometimes I'm not comparing myself to any, you know, really, really bleak situation, but personally, you know, things, sometimes we all have things that don't go our way, and we have, you know, issues that we have to deal with people and with things and whatever. But if you're observant and you're, you know, on the ball, pay attention, because whenever I go through, and I'm sure you have the same thing, when you go through a really tough time, there's little kisses that come during that time. You get little, like, flashes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that it's okay. It might be that, you know, you get like a letter in the mail from an old friend, or you get a text that's funny, or just to cheer up your day, or it might be little things, or it might be big things. Maybe, you know, all of a sudden, you know, yeah, you close a big business deal, or you, you know, or I don't know, you get a raise, or something like that. That did not happen, by the way. But but I could dream still, right? But something, you know, there are all the time, somebody comes over and compliments you, or you know, or just some nice thing happens to give you a pick me up. Because that's the way the Rabbeinu Shalom works. The Rabbeinu Shalom ad hayayim, when things are really dark and it doesn't seem like, you know, there's any hope in sight, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says there is hope, and here's a kiss. And here's some matzri, mat nechesh, some light, some nechesh, some. I'm gonna. You have a smell, you have a kiss, you have a taste. You see something, you meet somebody. Something comes and you say, "Wow, this is from the Rabbeinu Shalom." You see a bumper sticker on the car in front of you, Bitachon Emuna. You know, love Hashem. Hashem loves it. Something happens that gives you like just a quick reminder that there is a Rabbeinu Shalom, and that's not coincidental. Because just like Yosef, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was very intent on sending him those neshikas, and during the times of David HaMelech, he sent big neshikas, and during to remind everybody that David HaMelech is David HaMelech. And we have Hanukkah every time in the middle of the winter when we need it the most. We need to feel a little rejuvenated. Comes Hanukkah, the beautiful mitzvah that's Ner Chavivei Ad Ma'ed. It's true with every single time in life. The problem is we're so fabissant, we're so like, you know, bitter and upset that we wouldn't notice a bumper sticker that Hashem loves you in front of your car. You're just like, you'd be honking the horn, the guy's not moving fast enough. You know, or, you know, something gets in the way, the Yetzirah doesn't want, but if you pay attention, you will see and you will feel, and I had it 1,000 times. And sometimes I chop that this is the Rabbeinu Shalom talking. Sometimes I don't. Sometimes it goes right over my head. But if you want to see these types of things, you'll see it all the time. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu really does love us. It's not just a cliche. He really loves us. And he wants, just like a parent, when you see your child upset about something, you want to go over and give a hug, give a kiss, and try to make them, you know, tickle them until they're back themselves. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. We're his children. He wants us to know that he loves us. He cares about us. He's here for us. But he has to, at the same time, do what he's doing for a more cosmic reason. There has to be some, an einish or a kapara or whatever has to happen. That's a different cheshvan. But at the same time, even in the cheshkas hagalas, HaKadosh Baruch Hu constantly sends us these beautiful reminders, these beautiful little flourishes, little touches of tenderness to show us that he's here and that he's with us and that he loves us and that we should never forget it. And thank you very, very much.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.